So that passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 11. Now you might look at it and say, how on earth does that passage relate to the idea of welcoming all? Well, what I want to suggest, and the way it's really to get into it, is to look at verse 11. Look at the beginning of verse 11. And this is what some of you were. He's just listed a whole lot of lifestyles that are not acceptable in the kingdom of God. And it's important that we hear that and learn that, so that just as the Lord Jesus has chosen us before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight, it's worth seeing what holy and blameless looks like. So we need to heed the warning of lifestyles which are unacceptable in the kingdom of God. We need to realize that and to learn that. But how on earth can I... why am I doing that for a thing that's welcoming? Well, my suggestion is simply that because he says, and this is what some of you used to be, it means that the Christians in Corinth must have welcomed into their fellowship people who were, whose lifestyles at the time were unacceptable to the kingdom. They must have welcomed them in and enabled them to hear and to understand, so that they could then change and say, I'm no longer going to live in that way as being greedy or a drunkard or an idolater or a fornicator or whatever. I'm going to change because I understand who the Lord Jesus is, because I understand now what he has done for me. And if you look on in verse 11, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. So they've heard the gospel, which is all about being made clean before God through what Jesus has done for us. And they've understood that, and they've turned in repentance and faith and been changed. And so Paul can write to that church and say, some of you used to have lifestyles that were unacceptable. And the question, therefore, is how on earth will people who have a lifestyle like that at the moment come to the place of hearing the gospel and understanding and then being able to change and live differently? And that's what undergirds the welcoming all that the church council have decided is the right expression for what St. Stephen's is going to be about. And I just want you to think for a moment, when you go and visit a friend, what are the things that the friend can do that will make you feel really welcome? What sort of things make you feel welcome? Or if you're welcoming friends into your home, what sort of things do you do to prepare for them so that they will feel welcome? Shout out some ideas. What sort of things will make you feel welcome just in an ordinary home setting? Make a cup of tea. So the whole idea of refreshments and food and that sort of thing is something that's really important. So make a cup of tea. What else would we have?
A smile.
Yeti. Okay, a smile. Again, I'm pleased to see you. That sort of thing. Okay, so we've got food and a smile. What else have we got?
An initial hug.
Okay, yep.
Coming to a place of safety.
Coming to a place of safety and not judgment. Anything else? I was thinking about this, reflecting on this, and I realized that having just been to stay with my sister in the States, and I guess we both learnt it from our mother, that when we go to stay, there's always a small vase of flowers just beside the bed. And it just is something that she'd picked from her garden. And when she comes to stay with me, I try and do exactly the same thing. And it just makes you feel that much more welcome and special and valued. Most of us would try and have a big tidy up and make sure that the place is looking sort of sorted and acceptable and welcoming to people. Okay, so we've got refreshments, we've got a smile, we've got a hug, we've got a place of safety and sanctuary. We've got flowers and people making an effort to make it feel welcome. How do those sort of things, which we would do automatically if we were welcoming people into our homes, how do you think that can apply to St. Stephen's so that people who come through the door, everybody who comes through the door is made to feel welcome, whatever their lifestyle? We're not saying that lifestyle is an acceptable lifestyle for them to continue in, But we need to make sure that people feel welcome. How can we do that within St. Stephen's? Think about the cup of tea, for example. How does that work out within a St. Stephen's context? Food and drink and things. It's not rocket science, team. Come on.
We
provide tea and coffee and things. Okay, we provide tea and coffee and biscuits and all sorts of stuff. Why is it then, do you think, that we struggle week by week to find people who are actually willing to come in enough time to prepare the tea and coffee and then to serve it? I want to challenge you. If the church council are saying, as we are, that welcoming all is what St. Stephen's is about, then at the most basic thing, we would greet people and we would offer them food and drink. The refreshments don't just happen. There are people there who come early in order to set it up and work it through. It's not impossibly difficult, but it does require the commitment of coming early. Now, I know that not everybody can come early because you've got children and other commitments. But it's something that is really important. Okay, so the refreshments thing. We thought about a smile and a hug. Well, how does that work out in terms of welcoming people? How does it work out in church? Gigi, you clearly are saying something. Coming early, standing at the door, smiling. It's a bit... thing that the Lord has given you a real gift in smiling. You've got a Fanta and a Yeti also. Okay. Again, why is it that our welcomers rota struggles? Coming in for 10 o'clock, once a month, a couple of you, to say to people, yeah, you're really welcome. I'm so pleased that you've come to join us today. I want you to feel in a place of safety. I want you to feel... Now, it's not necessary automatically that we have to hug everybody who comes through the door. That might be a little bit too much and slightly too much in your face. But a smile, how nice to see you, all of that stuff. Again, I want to challenge you. It's not difficult, but it does involve a commitment. Brian, over there, helping with the children, is the man who is responsible for that rota. It would be fantastic if you decide now, I would love to volunteer to be on the welcomers rota in order to encourage people so that people genuinely do feel included and welcome. We had the whole thing of preparing, of making it a place of safety, but also, in my case, putting out flowers. But that will be part of tidying the room, making people feel that they're special because the bed's made or whatever it is that you're doing in your own home if someone's coming to stay. How does that preparation stuff work out in St. Stephen's? Go on, Melissa. Setting up the chairs, for example. Brothers and sisters, if you rock in at 11 o'clock, you're expecting that everything's set up ready for you. But these chairs don't stay exactly as they are all week. Somebody's put them out for you. Somebody's going to put them away again. If we're welcoming all people, then it really matters that we should be involved and equipped. And so again, there is a rota of people who come early, come at 9:30, something like that, in order to set the church up ready for church, ready for the visitors to come, for all of us to gather. Not difficult. There's training to be had, but it's important that people say, ah, yes. Just as if I'm welcoming people into my home and I scurry about and clean and tidy so that they feel welcome, then we need to do the same thing in church. So welcoming all is something that's really important. People whose lifestyles are completely different from ours, the sort of thing that we would not feel that we wanted necessarily to have in our own home, but we welcome them in, just as the Corinthian Christians must have done, so that they can hear about Jesus, repent, and be transformed. That's what we're about. It's a reading from John 14, 12 through to 17. And the verse that particularly I chose for that is verse 15. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And what we're saying is that loving Jesus is at the heart of what St. Stephen's is about. So that all of us are going to be loving Jesus. And look how the great promises that are there, that things that we ask, we're going to do greater works even than the Lord Jesus did, empowered by the Holy Spirit, just as he was empowered by the Holy Spirit. We will be seeing miracles. We will be seeing transformation. We will be seeing change. We will be finding that people whose lifestyles were unacceptable are touched by the Spirit of God and are transformed to become people who are no longer greedy, but now those who are willing to share. All those things are happening. And we expect them to happen because of a relationship with Jesus. And the very heart of it is that we love him. The way we demonstrate that we love Jesus is not that we get all gooey and sort of Valentine's Day and think, isn't Jesus wonderful? He is all of those things. He is wonderful. But we love him by obedience. We love him by striving personally to be holy and blameless. We won't be perfect this side of heaven, but we're willing to say, I want to change. I want to live differently. I want to be somebody who honors you 24/7, not just on Sunday mornings. Loving is going to work out in obedience. Loving Jesus being at the heart. It's going to involve delighting in him and praising him. And therefore, of course, you know, we'll know that we're struggling to find musicians and singers and all those people who can help us in our sung praise, encourage us as we come on the technology side of things. All of those things are stuff that are necessary. And again, if you've got talents that you're just sitting on at the moment and you could sing and you'd love to sing and you'd love to rehearse and practice so that you can lead us in that sung praise, then that is fantastic. Please again think about, have you got gifts that you could use in the service of God? That's something that's really important as well. Loving Jesus, our second one. Gigi, can we have our third reading, please? This is a reading from John's Gospel, chapter 17. And verses 1 to 3. So the church council said that the third thing that St. Stephen's needs to be about is making Jesus known. And we've been thinking about that over the summer, particularly we've been reflecting on different ways that we can ourselves share the good news about Jesus with other people. We've thought about two ways to live. We've thought about different ways that we can make him known. And if you look at this passage, you will see that it's all about people coming to know God. We can look around and we can see the wonder and beauty of the world, but we can also see the mess in the world, and we can get confused as to whether there really is a God. We know that there are people who come with other faiths and other religions and no faith at all and don't believe anything very much. There's an education job that has to happen if people are to become Christians. They need to hear about the true, the only, the living God. They need to hear what he has done in terms of creation. They need to hear how human beings have rebelled against him. They need to hear that judgment will come for that rebellion. They need to hear that Jesus has come as the perfect man to pay the price that our sin deserves so we can be washed and made clean. They need to hear that Jesus is raised and we are Easter people, and therefore there is a choice to be made. That's what we are about, because it really matters that eternal life. Look again at verse 3 of the reading there. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. If people are going to live in eternity, they have to have come to know Jesus in this life. And that is the principal purpose of every church, every Christian, is that we want to make Jesus known. And that's a responsibility on all of us, and we need therefore to be confident that we know him ourselves, confident that we actually understand the truths that Christians believe. That's why we have creedal statements, it's why we sing songs, it's why we have the scriptures, so that we can know what God is about. And there's a challenge to us to be confident that if somebody did ask you, you go to church, what does being a Christian actually mean? Could you answer them? If not, then begin to come to me, come to growth groups, come to whatever, and say, please help me, because I want to be better at making Jesus known. And then, of course, we need to be thinking about our own lifestyles. If we've read in that first passage about lifestyle choices that are just not acceptable in the kingdom of God, then we need to be challenging ourselves to make sure that we're not living in that way. And there are things like drunkards, things like people who are stealing things, people who revile. It just means they're really rude about other people. So it's not just some of the big things that we would immediately say, oh, that's sinful. Stuff that we might think is acceptable. Stuff that our world certainly thinks that's acceptable. And yet God is calling us to be holy and blameless. He's calling us to be different. And that's going to be the best possible way to be, because it's God's way. But we need to be realizing that living out differently for Christ in our everyday world is the way that we make him known. Quite frequently in our world, we can't say anything very much about Christian things in a work context because it's just no longer acceptable for us. But we can continue to live differently, live lovingly, transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit, to be able to speak when we can, but to be the person who is the one who goes the extra mile without saying anything about Jesus at all. But we're commending him by how we live. So that is something that is just really important for us. So those three things. Let's just take the headings. And we're going to read the bits that are in capitals at the top of the readings just to remind us of what our mission statement is. So it is welcoming all, loving Jesus, making him known. Once more, welcoming all, loving Jesus, making him known. Father, we ask that you would help us to be a church that truly lives up to that mission statement. We want all people to feel genuinely welcome here. And we want to hear and understand the challenge that that brings to each of us, so that this gathering on a Sunday morning can be a place where all people feel genuinely welcome. And then, Father, we want that the heart of the way that we live in our church life and the way that we live in all our lives is that we love Jesus. And that expresses and works itself out in obedience to his commandments. And then, Father, we want that other people should come to know him, because we see that unless we know Jesus, they're doomed for eternity. They're not going to have eternal life. So, Father, please help us in that challenge and that task to welcome all, to be loving to Jesus and making him known. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.